It's time
and therefore
declare your independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and my very, 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 very special guest, Ian Freeman from LibertyRadioNetwork.fm. Well, it's LRN.fm. He's the program director there, and he's, you know, got it going on, man. He knows way more about audio and stuff than I do. I got other guys for that. So it's I'm learning as I'm going on here, and we have people that have requested information from me, and I'm sure Ian gets the same kind of request. What do I need to be able to express myself on the internet, have an archived podcast, get on iTunes, have my own show, my own channel? Oh my goodness, LRN might pick up my show. This is something that they wanted to know, what's the equipment that they need. Well, you need a quality audio recording and the ability to mix more than one signal from a cable from your microphone into whatever's being recorded. That's a mixer. And we find out that we need a USB capable audio mixer, and you can get them for under $100. I'm like, ooh, that's good. A quality microphone for $60-$70. You have cables are $10. You have what else would we need? Some software free on the internet. You're going to need a computer of some type, you know, a laptop or something, and anything built in the last year or two, you're going to be fine. So this is because a lot
Ernie, anything within the last decade, you'd be all right. I mean, we're just talking about recording audio. That's one of the nice things about doing audio versus video is it's just not as resource intensive. You don't need to have the latest machines or the latest software. I'm still using an old version of Adobe Audition 1.5. I think they're up to 3.0. I mean, I could upgrade, but the one I've got works fine.
Well, that's one thing that I want to talk about is the what's driving computing is the ability to play games and watch video, or the porn industry definitely has been pushing the ability to do whatever on the internet, be able to have video. So it's usually if you want to see innovations and what's being done with computers and online streaming and so on, you watch the porn industry and the gaming industry. And so which is all teenagers, so it's all same thing. But what happens is audio uses much less capacity of the computer. So like what Ian saying is that you can get away with a much older computer, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the newer it is, the better your experience is going to be. But I can tell you, some of the radio stations I've worked in have been using some real clunkers to do their recording, which I wouldn't recommend, but it's possible.
Okay, so now we have, we're getting into the broadcasting part now. Now we have, we got our computer. We have a microphone. We got it cabled up to a mixer that maybe have a second microphone, or it goes into your computer to where you, or another computer or a sound card or anything, you know, your MP3 player. I have people using their iPods, and you play music or anything into it, and it mixes with your voice. So that's what a mixer is for. Or you can bring in clips. You know, here, I'll show you what I mean. You know, I'll be preparing this for probably tomorrow. I'll be doing this. There are other shows. I've been trying to get Naomi Wolf on, and she's really busy. And she made this prediction that, hey, man, there's 10 steps to a closed society. And, man, if we ain't getting there. Well, she did an interview just last couple of days with Lou Rockwell. So if I wanted to play that, you know, I just put this up and push the button.
Therefore, subversive and illegal, the movie was suppressed and he was jailed.
Didn't know that. That's really an important
talk about Woodrow Wilson days
as well. I mean, people were terrified in Connecticut. you know, thousands of people were rounded up and locked up without due process and you know, beaten in prison for speaking against the war. And if you look at the 20s, you know, what's really noticeable about the 20s was it was a period of sort of flappers and bathtub gin and talkies, but there was very little dissent because...
Hey, Ernie, did you know she's going to be at the Liberty Forum this year?
The Espionage Act.
Very cool. Very cool.
Now, the U.S. has tried to use the Espionage Act.
Now, that's what I wanted to get into, this Espionage Act thing. They're going to start getting... Because Assange, his thing is that he is like the New York Times. He's like a reporter, okay? So he's not really the guy that is, you know, that leaked it. He was the one that's reporting it. So this is like during Watergate days, you know, they're going after the New York Times and so on again. This Espionage Act thing is getting ugly. Well, this
yeah,
is
it's
what,
pretty scary stuff.
Well, it's what brought Naomi out, and she's like going, "Hey, man, this is bad." But the point is that by having this equipment, we can mix in any feed from anything to be able to include
the
show.
Just to add something in there, one thing that's really important that we haven't touched on with all this hardware talk is how to actually use it. And I appreciate the compliment that you gave me, but I'm not a professionally trained audio technician. I've learned everything by making mistakes and you know, blundering my way through it, and just like a lot of other people will. In fact, sometimes when I've got these microphone processors here in my studio, honestly, I don't really know how to use them. I just kind of throw stuff up against a wall and see what sticks. But what I do understand is audio levels. And I understand that if your levels are too low, nobody's going to want to listen. If your levels are too high, it's going to sound bad too. So that's one of the most important points about doing audio production is keeping your levels within an acceptable range. And I can tell you, there's a surprising amount of people that just don't quite pay attention to those things. And if you do, then it'll make your listenable. I mean, content's very important, but coming across from a technical side, you can have the best content in the world, but if it sounds like you've got a mic shoved down your throat because it's turned up too loud, you know, no one's going to want to listen to it.
You know, and that was one thing after we started putting the equipment back together, or we went to the Freedom Summit a couple weeks ago, people were calling complaining, and I'm getting emails saying, "Hey, man, I can't hear you." You know, well, we had a technical thing. Okay, well, thanks for telling us. We need to, you know, turn some dials and flip some switches, and we get all over it because, yeah, you're right. You know, if it's irritating to listen to, they're not. And a lot of people, like, you know, it was amazing. Even back in 2003, 2004, a lot of people that, you know, smart individuals that have a limited amount of time, they liked having the MP3s because they were able to speed them up and maintain the pitch. So if you're listening to a show that goes for an hour, you can get the same content in 40 minutes. You know, they just listen to it faster. We're just talking a lot faster. You can understand what we're saying. It's just that you are able to process it faster because you got a big brain box. I mean, you know, so that's what they would do. So there's a lot of things that you can do to make the experience more enjoyable for people and then be able to spend the time on it. But, you know, let's go ahead and go. I'll go ahead and start pulling up here the your broadcasting portion so that we can really get into this into the next segment, because I want to make sure that people know that they can become their own network or their own radio station. Go ahead and start. I'm on your page now. It is lrn.fm/broadcast.
Or you can just go to broadcast.lrn.fm because you can put it in front of the website, kind of like where you put the W's in. So yeah. broadcast.lrn.fm, take you right to the page. And the page is loaded with information about some of the equipment that you'll need, what you'll need to receive the audio from lrn.fm. There's different delivery methods. We've got satellite. You can take it via internet. And then different options for different budgets as far as what it will cost to get you this equipment. I think it's a pretty comprehensive rundown, and there's also a link to a forum where you can kind of link up with other people that might be doing the same thing that you are.
Well, let's say I know my senior editor, Pal Gamble, he's looking into this. He wants to be his own little neighborhood broadcasting. So what are they looking at to be able to do that? Because the first thing I guess you're suggesting here is that you're on a Ku-band satellite so that it is broadcast over the country, and if you got the right satellite and it's pointed in the right place, I'm getting your signal, right?
If you're anywhere in North America and you can see the southern sky, then you can likely receive the satellite feed from lrn.fm. So yeah, I mean, whether it's Canada, Mexico, Cuba, wherever you are.
When we come back, we're going to talk about what the cost of some of doing that is, how you can jack into the matrix. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence from Phoenix, Arizona, in the beautiful studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. I'm Ernest Hancock, and we've been showing, we're just kind of showing a bunch of, we're not as polished today, you know, because we're just doing, as Ian and I are talking, I'm going and looking up stuff or putting it up on the screen. We're just showing you kind of the things that you can just do by your own search on the internet. Go find, I want to be a broadcaster. I want to share my thoughts, my perspective, my whatever. And if everybody does, I tell you what, the good ones rise to the top, you know, because, you know, Ian will tell you, you know, we were just, you know, some guys out there, and all of a sudden it just kind of comes out there from experience, having something to say and not being willing to take no for an answer. We just do it. Well, there's, you know, some other things, you know, he's program director over at LRN.FM. And a couple of things I wanted to show you here is the map of the KU band satellite. This is what signal. Now, go ahead and describe. We're putting up the color coding, coded map up here. Then they got colors and lines and numbers. Explain what that means.
All right. Well, the KU band signal is covering the entirety of North America, and well, the signal limits at some point, and so it'll fade off in the amount of signal that it has. And so, if you're on the fringe, you're probably going to have a larger dish in order to be able to collect enough of the signal to get it, you know, to actually get it receivable. So the different lines that you see on that map are essentially the contours of the signal, essentially. And so,
red
if you're
is the strongest.
In a place like Alaska.
Was the red the strongest, or
the center of the country has the strongest? Let me pull that up myself here. I actually don't have it in front of me.
Because we have red and yellow, and I guess red and yellow is probably the stronger signals, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think we're looking at two different signal maps. There's the one on the, are you looking at the Lingsat signal map?
Right. It's the one you sent me.
Is it? Yeah, okay. There's a couple of different ones. Let me pull that one up. But yeah, basically this, if you're in the middle of America, you're going to be good. And yeah, red is a stronger signal. If you're living out in you know, the far west of Alaska, you're probably going to need a larger dish in order to pull it in.
Well, define the dish. I mean, what is the minimum size that you need, and then how large would
minimum
you have to go?
Minimum size is a little larger than the average DirecTV, so 30 inches. And then you can go as large as you want to go, but that's what I've been testing out here at the LRN studios. Just I've got a dish, I've got it installed, I've got the receiver, just to see what it sounds like and to kind of get an experience of what it's like to actually be on the receiving end of this this signal. And the 30-inch dish has been doing a great job. I was worried about rain fade going to be a problem. That's one of the downsides to satellite transmission. Is if it's pouring rain, there's a good chance that your signal might cut out. So having a larger dish can help counteract that, from what I understand. But I'm using the smallest dish possible, pretty much here, and it has had to have been very heavy rain in order for me to see the signal drop out due to the rain coverage.
Okay,
so you can get away with a 30-inch dish.
So 30 inches. I mean, it's not like these big giant dishes that we, you know, back when we were young.
What you're talking about is the C-band dish. Yeah, I mean, you could use a C-band dish if you have one. But 30 inches is all you need. That's pretty small.
Okay, so we got a relatively small dish. It can fit on top of your motorhome if it had to. But, I mean, you gotta point it. And this is – and I'm sure it comes with instructions, and you have some instructions.
That
there,
is
I'm
a
sure.
pain in the butt, let me tell you. Pointing that dish for me was pretty difficult, and I'm fairly technically adept. That is something you
meter?
May want to have a professional install.
So you have like a meter
yeah,
or something,
can,
and it kind of you get the signal
correct.
Strength, and you're sitting there playing and cranking, and because you're going up to a satellite, man. So just a little bitty bit, you're missing it. So
well, you know, yeah, you're absolutely right. But you know what really helped me out, Ernie, was now that we've got this. It's the 21st century now. We got the smartphones for Android and for iPhone. They have applications now. You do have to pay for them, but they have applications that actually allow you to hold your phone up. They call this augmented reality. You hold your phone up toward the sky, and it shows you where the satellites are. It is amazing, and it really helped me out.
Oh, coolness. Well, I got a Droid X, man. I just, you know, I already doing that Google Sky thing. That's kind of cool. So, all right, cool.
Yeah,
cool. Well, we got a lot of skills.
Your phone knows where the satellites are because you've got the GPS on the phone, and basically the software just translates all that information for you and physically shows you exactly pretty much where you need to be pointing it. There's also a handy website called dishpointer.com, and that's how I found out about the software, that you can link to it through there. But you go to Dishpointer, and they use Google Maps. You put in your address, and they come up with all the information you need. You put in your address and which satellite you want to point at, and it gives you everything you need right there on one website. It's very useful and free.
Okay, so now we get this dish. How much am I spending on a dish? I'm going to be receiving you from the satellite.
The dish is cheap, under $100, probably closer to, you know, 60 or 70.
Okay, now I got that signal, and it's going to go into what?
Well, you've got to have a receiver. You've got to have what they call a free-to-air receiver. So what we're doing, Ernie, is we're putting our channel up on the satellite dish, but it's not like XM or Sirius where you have to pay some sort of subscription fee. It's completely free. That's what they call it, free-to-air. It's not encrypted in any way, shape, or form. So anybody that buys a cheap dish and a cheap receiver can receive this audio, whether they want to rebroadcast it or just use it to listen to. It's there for you with no subscription fees. So
okay,
you can
so
get the receivers for under $100 too.
Dish, $100. Receiver, $100. Now I'm receiving it. Now I got to amp it or run it through speakers or do something with it. What am I doing with it?
Well, presumably you'd want to put it on the air on your radio station, right?
Okay.
Or are you just talking about listening? Or?
No, I'm just walking it through. Every step, I'm going to need something. I got satellite dish. I'm going to have a cable that goes from the satellite dish that goes to my receiver. I got my receiver,
right,
you know, processing it, and it's going into a computer or speakers or a transmitter or something. I mean, you know, what's the next step after my receiver?
Well, you know, that's up to you. If you just want to sit down and watch some satellite TV or listen to our radio, LRN.FM on the couch, you can do it that way. You plug it into your TV set if you want to. But most of the TV stations are weird and the radio stations are weird. They're very strange. It's like very, very international programming, stuff you can't get anywhere else, and most stuff you wouldn't really want to get anywhere else. But there's some good stuff up there, like Russia Today. That's a good channel. Al Jazeera is up there as well. But really, you want to use this for radio purposes. So you tune into LRN.FM on the receiver, and you lock it in there, and then you can plug that into your transmitter. I mean, really, it's plug and play.
Okay, so we're transmitting to our neighborhood. All right, now we got what opportunities do we have as a transmitter? Now, let me go ahead and preface it this way, let people know. What happened about 2 years, it was during the Loveolution, and we had known that you could do this. You could have your own FM signal go out, and I think they had AM too. I can't remember if we were doing AM or FM. I think we had the FM transmitters. And you get them from China, you know, for $100, $200, $300, depending on how much assembly you're willing to do with a solder gun. And then you got to balance, you know, the antenna cable, and the antenna's got to be so high and all this other stuff. But it's pirate radio, and you could put on your laptop and do it, broadcast a signal, and we would do this at the university. We'd go to Arizona State University, and we had three of these transmitters. So we'd spend about now $200-$300 on each of these, and we'd give them the guys in their dorm rooms. They put their iPod into it to transmit this, and we put, you know, Loveolution Radio 91.7 or whatever. You just tune in to that, and you're listening to it, and it would broadcast just far enough to cover the entire campus. What you can do with LRN.FM, you get your own transmitter, you can cover an entire university. When we get back, we'll talk about how you do that very thing and how much it costs. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and another independence-declaring kind of guy, Ian Freeman, from LRN.FM, where he's the program director there and host of Free Talk Live, along with Mark Edge. Now, this is, you know, we're picking each other's brains a little bit here for the benefit of people that are interested in sharing what they have learned. A lot of, you know, young people are just like, look, man, I want to have a show. What do I need? I want to tell mom and dad, you know, get me some presents. And if I go around to mom, I want this, and dad, I want this, and sis, I want this, and bubba, give me this, and grandma and grandpa, give me that. All of a sudden, boom, You're LRN. So let's go ahead and just look at real quick. Now, Ian says he wants to have, you get a mixer, make sure it has USB capacity because it interfaces with your computer a lot better. So, and give the two brand names again.
Alesis, Behringer, those are the two.
Alesis and Behringer. Now, what I'm showing here now is a Behringer. And that this one, even though it's all whippy-dippy there and 15 gazillion channels, they got under $200. So that's surprising. You can do a webcam with as simple as a webcam on your computer, a Skype headset, you know, that goes into the mixer or into your computer. You could go as cheap as that. You know, then you have here we have an Alexis Multi-Mini 4 USB. This gives you four channels, and you can plug in your microphones, mix in signal from your laptop and over, and kind of you bring it up and down, and some of them have slides.
Or maybe you don't want to do a show. Maybe you don't feel like that's your role, and maybe you just want to put other people's shows on the air. And that's one of the reasons why LRN.FM, that's why I created it, was so people could have a plug-and-play option to where they don't have to, you know, do the actual work of radio. They can just hook it up. Get it on the air and go, and not have to think about
what's on the
air. No,
we're getting it, Ed. I'm building up. Yeah. I'm summarizing from the previous hour. Okay, then we have microphones. Now, microphones about 60 because I'm showing some graphics here. So we have microphones. They're like $60. You can get something decent. You have other kinds of mixers and so on. And this one that I'm showing now is the one that I use, and it's like $180 or something, and it's got it going on. But it doesn't have USB. It's just got to get USB. Then you have the cables and such. And so when you get done and you got a computer and a video mixer or audio mixer, you kind of look like this, different studio. Now, we have a big mixer that you see that we got from a Clear Channel station that was upgrading, and it was like, you know, in the back room that somebody knew was there, and we refurbed it, and so we got it going on. So we're like, I don't know how many is that, like 20-something channels. So this is kind of what to get you started if you're wanting to record your own. Now, what we're talking about now is what Ian is talking about, is you don't have to be the host. If you got people that are doing a good job, what do you want to do? You just want to be able to rebroadcast what Ian has gone through all the work to do, is accumulating really good people that have a perspective. I mean, Scott Horton, are you kidding me? You know, here's somebody's got going, oh, man, you want to know about the war and what's going on around the world? Boom. Free Talk Live, my show, others, you know, and many podcasts are on there. You just go 24/7 of LRN in your neighborhood, guess what? You'd be popular. And you could just market it to your neighborhood and on freaking business cards. You know, tune in here. You know, it's on. So that's what we're talking about now. We have the ability that you can go and get cheapy little FM whatever neighborhood I'm doing, because this is how they do it on like drive-in theaters. When you go in, you don't have the little box anymore. You just tune in your radio and you're listening through your stereo system what is being played on the screen in a drive-in. How do they do that? With radio waves. But there are all kinds of laws and how powerful it can be and how far it can go, and so on. So do you know anything about that you can share?
I do. I mean, I'm no a lawyer. This isn't legal advice. But really, the first question you need to answer if you want to broadcast is, what kind of risk are you willing to take? If you want to lower the amount of risk you take, then you should go with the legal route, which means you're going to have a limited amount of coverage. But they have what they call Part 15 specifications, the FCC. And again, I mentioned that we have a link to a forum. You can go to micro.lrn.fm, and that'll take you over to a forum where people can interact and ask questions and talk to one another who are having experiences like this. But there's some discussion of Part 15 over there. And, of course, there are Part 15 dedicated forums on the internet as well. But essentially, Part 15 is where you use a tenth of a watt on AM, and there's no limit to the amount of transmitters you can have. So technically, you could have transmitters all across a town and cover a fairly large area. But if you're staying under that wattage, you're generally safe. There are some other rules that apply, but the FCC can still come along and harass you. A lot of the Part 15 operators believe that if they just run Part 15 equipment, that they'll be okay and the FCC will leave them alone. But the FCC can still come along and demand to see your equipment. And if you don't show it to them, then, well, that could be problematic. Now, that's if you're running a Part 15 and trying to be legal. If you don't care about that and you're willing to take some risk, then then a whole world of FM broadcast options opens up to you. And in my opinion, there's not a whole lot of risk in most places, but I'd like to caveat that. The state of Florida, as I understand it, those guys down there have made pirate radio illegal. Just over and above what the federal government has said, and they will, from what I understand, conduct police raids on suspected pirate radio stations down there. So some areas are friendlier than others.
You know, we had experience. I can't remember what the guy's name was, William Mulligan or something. I can't remember. It was in 93-94. Now, I've been doing this for a long time, and he had a pirate radio station in North Phoenix, and he was challenging the man. Yeah, come get me. What was happening is there's so many little pirate radio stations are going around everywhere, but they wouldn't go and raid the projects in Detroit. You get to have your pirate radio station. But in San Francisco, they had a lot of them, and they were being represented by attorneys. And a lot of this, you know, what you're talking about, Part 15 and everything, is what got negotiated to allow for there to be legal pirate radio. Now, the challenge is this. When the FCC was created, it was to protect private property. Well, you know, you get this government license, they own the air kind of thing, and they assigned it to different individuals. So what was their jurisdiction? If your radio signal did not interfere with another person's commercially transmitting signal or go over a state border, federal government didn't have jurisdiction. So what happens when you have a radio show that's just in the Phoenix area or, you know, Manchester or whatever, and it doesn't go over a state border? Where does the federal government get jurisdiction? Well, it's because they got guns, because they say they do. I mean, it's just always like that. So what happens is, you know, what is the battle you want to fight? Well, there was a battle going on in the 90s on just this issue. And then it gets, you know, so many wattage and so much distance that you can go. But what we did is two things. One, we could cover a university. You got a bunch of young people on a university. You got a guy in his dorm room with a antenna sticking out. Boom, you're legal and you're covered. And, you know, come get me. Let's make an issue out of it. The other thing was, is what Ian was talking about, is that let's imagine you have the signal coming into your computer that's going into your transmitter. Now, you can pull it off of the internet. You can pull it off of your satellite. They have their KU band. And you're transmitting it just from your home in a small area. So what happens if it's a campaign? Ron Paul 2012, you know, 91 point whatever. And it's on a campaign sign on a corner or wherever anybody lives that's transmitting this. They go from corner to corner to corner. You got enough people, they'll never lose the signal and be legal and overlap. Well, the man come after that, damn Skippy. He'll come after that. In the 1960s, when JFK was running for president, they were transmitting in the Southern California from outside international borders. I mean, in international waters. They had no jurisdiction. It's like pirate radio they were doing. They did the movie about off the coast of UK, transmitting rock and roll. Well, what happens when they came in to refuel? Boom, they seized the ship. Don't ever think they're not. It's when you're the most effective is when they're going to come after you. That's when they're. It's not how strong it is or how. If you're doing biscuit recipes, they don't care. It's when you're challenging the man. You want to see the men in black? It's when you're challenging the Matrix. That's when they show up. War and death and raping and killing and all kinds. Don't care. You challenge the man, here they come. Well, guess what LRN's doing? They're challenging the man. You want to be a man challenger? Well, go to LRN.FM. Look at broadcasting up there, and you can get in to do it. When we come back, we'll get more into the broadcasting and just how far this can go. How big an area? How far are you broadcasting? How many minds can you free? Want to be a mind freer? Well, they got the content at LRN.FM. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with Ian Freeman from LRN.FM, me, Ernest Hancock, just a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Oh, the heat is on. You're going to be transmitting. You know, you're going to be using the man's air. You know, they're like, did you get your permission slip? You know, well, this, you know, some people are just challenging. And that's one thing about the internet is that it just, I don't need your permission. Well, they're going, yes, you do. Well, we'll see what happens. But, you know, pirate radio has been around for a long time, long time, long time. And the one thing that a lot of people don't know is they were threatening the internet even before it was really getting started in the mid-90s. And a lot of people were going, you know, you can transmit data using ham radio. And we had a lot of activists that were ham radio guys, you know, just like you have a lot of internet geeks now, you had a lot of ham radio geeks then, and they would do data packets to where you would just transmit emails and so on over the airwaves. You know, they shut it down, there's always going to be something. Spaceship 14, they're going to be putting up our own satellites. Well, we got our own satellite, KU band, LRN.FM, and you can transmit it and become your own pirate radio station. So we've talked about, you know, for about $400 or $500, you can get a really good microphone and a mixer, and you get your cabling, and you get some software, and you have your computer, and so you're making content. But LRN.FM already has the content. And if you want to add to it, you know, you have the opportunity to do that with the podcasting and just be good at what you do. And Ian's going, yes, boss, I want you. And you'll be added to the mix. Now, that mix is broadcast out on a satellite that you can receive with like a $100 30-inch dish. Then it goes to a receiver, about $100. Then it goes into something that's going to broadcast it. You can feed it right back into your Facebook or channel or whatever the heck you want to do with it. But you can do it to your neighborhood. Now, some of these, if you're willing to skirt the law, Ian, how far can your signal go?
I guess the question is, how much do you want to spend and how much risk are you willing to take? I mean, you need to be a good neighbor. It's one of the most important factors. If you're going to get on the radio, whether it's going to be in your neighborhood or it's going to be for your entire city, whatever you're intending to broadcast to, you want to make sure you don't step on your radio neighbor. So if you want the FCC to come knocking on your door quickly, start broadcasting over top of an existing station. Bad idea. Find a clear channel on the dial, and there's a neat little tool that'll help you do that. Obviously, you can just tune around and listen and kind of drive the area to make sure there's nothing else out there. Because if you just listen at one location, that's not good enough. You need to listen around the area to the same channel to make sure it's clear everywhere. But if you go to radio-locator.com, there's actually a link there that'll allow you to punch in your zip code or punch in your city, and it'll come up with the most open spaces on your radio dial. It'll automatically tell you where the best places to be are. Then you can just kind of drive around and pick the one that is best. You're not stepping on any toes that already exist. And then, you know, the question is, what do you want to spend on a transmitter? I mean, there are cheapy China ones you can get on eBay, and you can get a transmitter and an antenna for, you know, a couple $100. Or you can go to a couple thousand and get a more professional kind of a transmitter and antenna. And you could cover a whole city, no problem. A small city you can easily cover with, you know, a few dozen watts. There's a nice fit. There are a few nice 50-watt professional transmitters out there. You pair those up with the right antenna. And most importantly, putting the antenna up high. That's the critical aspect. At least when you're doing FM, AM broadcast is a little bit different. But when you're doing FM, getting that antenna up as high as possible is one of the more important factors. You can be broadcasting 50 watts on the ground and 5 watts in the air, and that 5 watts is going to do better.
Let me go ahead and we'll talk about the philosophy of this. Radio, when I first started doing the studio here, when we built the workshop here, we knew that we were going to eventually create a radio studio. It was never my intent to go on network. You know, I've been on 3 networks since we went ahead and started doing the radio show here. And it was because, you know, people wanted content. They liked what we were doing. And, yeah, you know, be on what we're offering as a product. But I always kind of went in with the idea I was done with Terran Radio. I was going, look, man, I see where this is going. It's going to be internet-driven content, because I had such a larger audience. Even though I was in morning drive here, I had a larger audience download my podcast, probably a lot because there wasn't any libertarians on the air. You know, it was a limited market, you know. Wow, there's somebody on the air as a libertarian? Oh, my goodness, how did that happen? So that had a lot to do with it. But now that we have so many freedom-oriented shows and such out there, Where's the best way to go? Are we, you know, the internet, is that kind of saturated and we're needing to get back into the airwaves where we can penetrate the matrix in our neighborhood and we could even promote it? You put out flyers and so on. You have, you know, tune in to whatever, banners, you know, that kind of stuff. We did that a little bit during the Levolution to great effect on the universities. But, you know, if it's really that effective, you know the man's going to come after you. So you got to be willing to do away with your goodies, and you put it in a little self-contained solar-powered box on top of a tree kind of thing. They want it that bad, they can go get it. You know. So, I mean, what kind of options do you think people should start pursuing, and why? Why is this important?
Well, yeah, you are definitely, you know, if you're going to rattle the cage, the man may very well come after you. So you do kind of have to expect to, you know, there's the possibility that you could lose everything that you invest. But if getting the ideas out is important to you, I think radio is one of the best ways to do it. I mean, yeah, the internet snobs are going to tell you, well, everybody's on the internet these days. Well, that's not true. There are a lot of people that are not on the internet, and a lot of people only use the internet at work. So, yeah, we're certainly seeing more people using the internet, but radio has an incumbency factor that the internet just doesn't have at this time. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but the radio industry people do studies on these sorts of things, and they find that a significant majority, like over 90% of Americans, listen to the radio during the week. So there are people out there that are ready to hear the ideas of liberty, and you could help provide that for them. Just the question is, are you willing to take the risk? And anytime you're going to challenge the man, you're taking a risk. So don't think for a moment that if you're just going to do politics and you're going to be all safe. If you do politics and you start to challenge the establishment, then all of a sudden the establishment's going to lash out against you. They're going to find stuff to come after you for, and they're going to trump you up on charges or whatever. So there is no easy road to liberty. There are some things that are easier than others, but in the case of the FCC, in most instances, there's a certain way that things go. They have to find the signal first, and these are bureaucrats, so it's going to take a while. Here in Keene, there was a transmitter that was on the air for a few months, several months, actually, before the FCC finally showed up. It's currently off the air. But that's what you can do typically, is if the FCC comes knocking, don't let them in. Don't even talk to them. Don't give them any identifying information. If you're renting a house, they don't even know who you are. You know, and even if you are renting a house, they still don't know who you are. They don't know if you're the one, if you're the homeowner. They don't know if you're the one that's actually doing the broadcasting. So they've got to gather information and conduct an investigation. And if you just ignore them, they're going to go away. And if you're scared at that point, flip off the transmitter. Cool down for a while. And better yet, if you've got some other activists in the same area, hand it off. Have somebody else turn it on for a while, that kind of thing.
Yep. Nope. There's always risk. And, you know, if you weren't having any impact, there wouldn't be any risk. So Yep. This is, what are some of the other things before we run out of time that they go to broadcasting? Is that what it is, broadcasting?
No, just broadcast.lrn.fm. Okay. If you just go to lrn.fm, it's one of the tabs at the top.
Yeah, broadcast. Okay, lrn.fm, you'll find it up there. Now, they take this project on. I'm sure others have. What are the stories that you're getting back, the effectiveness, and how many minds are getting freed using this method?
Well, it's pretty fresh, Ernie. Our satellite channel has only been online since June, and we've only had the broadcast page up since shortly thereafter. So I have gotten a couple of reports from people that have started their own radio station. One guy is using it in Ohio. He's using LRN on the weekends on his station there. He only turns it on the weekends, actually. And he's using our satellite signal. So
bureaucrats don't drive around on the weekends.
it's rare that you're going to actually hear, at least me, it's rare that I'm going to hear from somebody that says, hey, I'm running a pirate radio station. Although I love to hear from people. If you are, please, you know, email lrn@lrn.fm and let us know. We'll add you to our list of affiliates. But as you might imagine, a number of people that are running what they might call micro radio aren't exactly going to put that out on Front Street.
Well, some would. It's always about free minds and having fun doing it. If you're not having fun, you're doing it wrong. And one of the things I hope this show did, if you're patient with us, Ian and I just kind of, you know, went through it, some of the basic equipment that you need, and there's different ways that you can do it. There's software out there, there's forums. Go ahead and give out the forum for them, because they get a lot of information from that.
Well, our forum doesn't have a load, but there's a good amount. It's micro.lrn.fm, and of course, there's plenty of other forums on the internet for these things.
There's a lot of information out there. If you really want to do this, talk to mom and dad. You need a microphone, you need a mixer, you need a computer, and that's really about it. I mean, you know, some software you can get free. So plan on spending the few $100, and you can add your voice to the signal. Jacking in.